Hello there, Galaxy Brain listeners and lovers. Jane Wilson here, back for another edition of our look into pressing and apropos questions, problems, issues, and responses. And today's question is very apropos, considering we are all of us sort of teetering on the edge of maybe coming out of COVID. And for many of us, long time spent at home with our stuff, our loved ones too, but surrounded by our stuff. So the question, as we reflect back and move forward, is how do you stop yourself from acquiring too much stuff? And how do you know when enough is enough? And it is a good question for me because I have a lot of stuff. And a big reason for why I have a lot of stuff is that I had parents who died and left all their stuff to my brother and sister and I. And the stuff that they left was stuff that I love. They collected things. And they didn't come from wealthy, fanfaron families. They came from Winnipeg, from, in my dad's case, being expelled from Gordon Bell High in grade 10, and then hitting the heights of the international banking world. And my mom, whose dad was a blacksmith back in the Depression years, a very, very ordinary, plain upbringing, married this guy, high school dropout. Well, not dropout, expelled, not wanted, surplus to need. And they went on, married, had us three kids, and my dad's international banking career took off. So the way that they acquired stuff was being in all these different countries, meeting all these different people, having access to new thoughts and new experiences, and each of them started collecting to a certain degree because my dad, and this is not unusual amongst bankers, was cheap, just hated spending money. His expense account really covered everything, and but the money he earned, you know, he liked to hang on to. But he couldn't resist, and neither could my mom, books. So I used to have a couple of thousand books after they died. My brother and sister have theirs, too. And these with bindings that are on my shelves now that I've been looking at my entire life long and are as familiar to me as, gosh, anything you know all your life and is comforting. Beautiful hardcover books. My dad would, when he got to the airport, and he was at the airport all the time, we moved all the time. The longest we lived anywhere until I was in my 20s was about 2 years. And I went to 17 schools in that time. And we lived in Europe, Canada, the US, the Bahamas, and backed and forth between those places and other places. Like in Canada alone, I was born in Montreal. My parents came from Winnipeg. We lived in Montreal, Toronto, Calgary, Victoria, and then back and forth again to a few of those places, same with London and Nassau and all of that. It sounds exciting, but you have to imagine that as a child, to me, it was like, what? Why do I have to leave everybody and I have to pack all my stuff up again and I won't know anybody where I go and I'll look like an idiot and so on and so forth? But there were benefits to it. I mean, all of those books represent a lot of flights, international flights my dad took. And luckily, he would always inscribe on the fly leaf the date, where he was coming from and where he was going. And sometimes a note or two after that. And it's just there for me anytime I want to pull that book off the shelf and open that cover, you know, with a cover photograph or painting or whatever has been chosen for the book itself, these familiar, beautiful objects. So I've got all of those, and I could not bear to part with them, although I did have to downsize. When I downsized about 10 years ago, the other thing he collected was clocks. And my personal take from what was left behind, I've got and 4 or 5 of them are sitting above my head right now, I'm just looking up, of carriage clocks, all antique carriage clocks and mantel clocks, of the some early 20th, mostly 19th century. Beautiful, beautiful things. I've also got, standing in the corner, not weighted, wound, and ready to go because it makes an incredible racket, a long case clock, grandfather clock, from the mid-1760s. It's absolutely gorgeous. And just looking at it, there's a painted moon dial that moves around the clock. Honestly, it's a stunning piece that, again, brings me pleasure from having known this clock since I was about 10 years old and always having it within eyesight. There's also a lot of antique furniture, some really nice art, some sculpture, and various odds and ends. So that even adding my own furniture and books and things and stuff and art means there's a lot of stuff. And I now live in a beautiful little elderly bachelorette apartment where I had to make some tough choices. But I did find it easy to let go, really only of the modern things. I 86 my entire bed because it wouldn't fit through the door. Because the hallway and all of that. Same with my couch. Kept its matching chair and all its cushions. But I can get rid of things, except for precious things. What I did acquire over the past few years, and what I think is something that I've got to put an enough is enough on, is my indulgence in isolation. As painful as it was for a lot of people to be sort of put aside from their work friends, their social schedules, all the different things they used to do out in the world, I found it tremendously comfortable and delicious and delightful to have that alone time. I still have my very close friends, but most of them at a phone call length. Meetings are rare. I feel safer and more secure and comfortable in my self-indulgence when I'm all alone. And it's something I'm finding very, very difficult to give up, to say, you know what, enough is enough. It's time to rejoin the world. So there it is. There's mine. It's not a thing, and I've still got plenty of things. But it is a habit that I have acquired that I need to put an end to. So that's my pledge. I'll keep checking in, let you know how it's going. For now, I'm just going to, you know, hop back into my little nook and read a book. Thanks for listening.